dogs. And so after service this morning, we will have hot dogs available. We have a couple of our young men are cooking those up for us. If it's too early for you to stomach a hot dog, don't worry, there still are bagels. And so, but it's never really too early to have a hot dog. I mean, it just, you know, just kind of goes. So we invite you to join with us as we do that. If you have your Bibles with you, let's turn together to Colossians chapter 1. And we are going to jump right back into our series that we've been unpacking together, these 95 verses that Paul writes to the church at Colossae. We've been spending the last number of weeks really primarily around the last these last five verses in Colossians chapter 1, picking up at around verse 15 to 19. It's here where Paul is emphasizing the person and the ministry of Jesus Christ. You know, one of the reasons I love the book of Colossians, I certainly love all the books of the Bible, but one of the things I really like about the book of Colossians, it is so rich in theology. I mean, what Paul's laying out for us here in the beginning of chapter one, it's like filet mignon. It is the greatest display of Christology that we're going to see in the New Testament. And he gets into the real depth of the person and nature of Jesus Christ. And then he moves into the ministry of Jesus Christ. And then what I love about it is, as we'll continue to unpack that together, he moves into the practical ways that that acknowledging him as God ought to affect our lives as Christ followers. And so it is weighty, it is informative, and it is instructional. And so I pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to preach this to you long after you're out of the church building, and continues to speak life to you and inform you from his word. At this point, we're going to pick up, we're focusing on just who Jesus is, and we've been looking at these last verses, so let's look together at verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him, and all things were created for him. And he is before all things. And in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And so we've been unpacking that these last number of weeks, and we saw four attributes of Jesus in this passage. We saw, number one, that he is the image of the invisible God. We said that he is the visible of the invisible. Everything God wants us to know about himself is seen in the person and ministry and life of Jesus Christ. If we want to see how God thinks about us, we want to see how God responds to sinners and reaches out to those who are lost and confused. If you want to know how God feels about that, look at the ministry of Jesus. He is the visible of the invisible God, the image of the invisible God. We look at the fact that he is the firstborn of all creation, that he is preeminent over everything that was ever created. He is first and foremost. He is supreme over everything that was ever created. He is the firstborn of all creation. And thirdly, he is the creator of all things. Everything that is came into existence by the breath of Jesus. Jesus is the creator of all things. He is the source of everything that is created. And then last week, we looked at the fact that he is eternal in verse 17. That there was never a time where Jesus was not. He's not just pre-existent, meaning that he was born before his birth in Bethlehem, as some of the Gnostics were believing in the book of Colossians, but he is eternal. That there was never a time where Jesus was not. That's where we left off last week in the first part of 17. We're going to unpack the rest of verse 17, where it says that it is he who holds all things together. In him, all things are held together. He is eternal, and in him, all things hold together. In other words, Jesus is the one who keeps the entire cosmos from going into chaos. In him, he holds all things together. He is the creator of all things, and he is the means by which everything that has been created is held together. Think about that for a moment. He is the creator of all things, and he is the source, the means by which everything that was created is held together. The title of my message is exactly that this morning, Held Together. Held Together. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has been making reference to humanity. He's been talking about angels and all that exists within the heavens and the earth. And he points out in verse 17 that the one thing that all of creation shares in common is that Jesus is the one who holds it and us all together. Everything that God created, the one thing we all have in common with all of creation is that Jesus is the source that holds it all together. Not only did Jesus create all things, but Jesus is the one that keeps things in motion, keeps them going as he designed for them to go. The writer of Hebrews chapter 1, the writer of Hebrews says, he is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature. And he says, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power, speaking of Jesus. You see, we just kind of thought Jesus was an incredible miracle worker and certainly the Son of God who did some wonderful things in his ministry here on the earth. And he did. And he continues to. But we need to take a step back once in a while and realize that he was the source of all creation. In him, everything that came into being came into existence. He is the source of all things, and he continues to hold it all together. Paul is addressing an audience who are beginning to consider how the spirits may have been the ones who were sustaining the things in the heavens and the earth. Don't offend the spirits because there'll be chaos in the universe. Why do the storms come? Well, we must have offended something in the order, the angelic order. And Paul is addressing these people who are starting to veer from truth and hold on to philosophies and mysticism and all kinds of heresy. And he brings it all back and says, no, you don't understand. It is not the angelic order that has anything to do with keeping things in order. It is in him. It is he who holds all things together. And as the writer of Hebrews says, he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Do you know how significant that is? Do you know how huge the universe is? Our telescopes have not even scratched the surface of all that exists just from those words rolling off the lips of God, as you said, let there be, and it can continue to expand. Jesus holds it all together. Now let me say it this way. If God were to withhold his power, if Jesus were to cease from holding all things together, all that exists would be in total chaos. Do you realize that? I mean, the fact that things are held together, we must recognize that everybody, believer and unbeliever, benefits from the fact that Jesus holds it all together. And if God were to take a step back for 1 minute, if Jesus would not hold those things together for one moment in time, a whole cosmos would experience tremendous chaos. Now, there are very many starting places that we can turn to since as we consider what would happen if God just withheld the action of holding things all together. There's a lot of things that we can look at, but let's consider the earth for a moment. Since God created the earth, it's one of the many things that God created, but since this is the place that God saw fit to place us as humans, as those who were created in his image, this is the location where Jesus willingly came to live and to die and pay the price for our sins. it's an important and good place to start and consider how would the earth be affected if God withheld his power? If Jesus didn't hold all things together. You know, the axis of the earth is tilted at exactly 23.5 degrees. It is that very precise tilt that allows the earth to experience the changing of seasons as it revolves around the sun at rapid speed. If that were to shift just a little bit, if God were to withhold for one moment his ability to hold it all together, if God were to release the earth from its precise location, we would not experience the change in seasons like we do. And it would cause the temperatures to spike and drop, and it would be an unlivable environment. But Jesus keeps it right at 23.5 degrees. This tilt is what allows the precise amount of sunlight to hit the earth, which enables us to have the appropriate amount of warmth and light and growth for all things like plants and animals and people. If Jesus didn't hold it all together to the exact tilt of the earth the way he did, life on earth would at best be very difficult, but more likely would be non-existent. Just a degree. And life ends. But it doesn't end. Why? Because he holds it all together. Think about the earth's rotation. It takes approximately 24 hours for the earth to rotate around its axis. That's an amazing speed of approximately 1,040 miles an hour. Our earth is constantly spinning. Do you feel like that? Isn't it amazing we don't feel the earth moving at 1,040 miles an hour, but it is moving 1,040 miles an hour, 24 hours a day. It just as a side note, I thought about that, I thought to myself, you know, there are times, because it doesn't feel like we're moving 1,040 miles an hour, does it? And you know, it just kind of reminds me, there are times when I don't think God's doing something. I don't feel like God is doing something, just like I don't feel like I'm moving 1,040 miles an hour. And just because I don't feel it doesn't mean that God is not at work in my life and in your life. And I just want you to know today that if you don't think that God is at work in your life, just remember that the earth is moving at 1,040 miles an hour. And though you might not see it and you might not feel it, you are cruising. And God is at work at your life. But could you imagine 1,040 miles an hour and God takes a step back and it stops? We'd be like, off into the universe. But he doesn't do that. I don't have enough faith to think that that's just coincidence. The earth is revolving around the sun. The earth travels around the sun once every 365.24 days in the same elliptical orbit, day after day, year after year. And this is partly what adds to the tilt of the earth, by the way. It's what gives us the seasons, as I said, that we have. But from the day that God created the earth and put the earth in motion around the sun, it has continued to revolve around the sun in the same path over and over and over again. Think about that for a second. When God set it in motion, it continued and it never, ever stopped. How does he do that? What keeps the earth revolving around the sun the way it does in such a consistent fashion? What keeps the earth from just drifting off into space? You say, well, gravity does that. Yes, it's gravity. But what is gravity? Gravity is a force that attracts physical mass with a strength that is in equal proportion to its mass. Gravity is a force that attracts physical mass with a strength that is in equal proportion to their mass. Gravity is the reason we have weight. Isn't that great news? It wasn't that second cannoli. You don't have a weight problem, you got a gravity problem. That's why we have weight. But remember, gravity is what we call that force. That's just the title we gave it. That's what keeps things in their proper places. One theologian, J.B. Lightfoot, says this: he is the principle of cohesion in the universe. He impresses upon creation that unity and solidarity, which makes it a cosmos, which is an ordered system, instead of a chaos, which is unformed mass. Thus, the action of gravitation, which keeps in their places these things fixed and regulates the motions of things moving, is an expression of his mind. Gravity, I love that. See, gravity is many, many things, and people far more intelligent can give you a real scientific explanation as to how it all works, but all they'll be doing is really revealing what this theologian from yesteryear shared, that gravity is nothing more than an expression of his mind. He created it as a tool to keep all things held together the way God designed for it to be. That's what keeps the earth in its precise location. If the earth were 1% further from the sun, it would explode. If the earth were 1% closer to the sun, it would implode. If the earth were 1% closer to the sun, it would burn up. And if it was 1% closer away from the sun, it would freeze up. Think of that 1%. What is it that does that? In him, Paul says, all things are held together. We all of humanity, all that is living, holds great gratitude to the one who holds it all together. And it stays right where God placed it, because in him all things hold together. Also held in the precise location that it is our moon. The moon, in addition to reflecting light for the sun, is the source of our changing tides. Our waters rise and fall based on the positioning of the moon. If the moon were to simply just let go, I mean, you ever get out there on a starry night and just stare at the moon and you think, what holds it there? It can go anywhere, but it stays. And if the moon were just to drift off into the nothingness, do you realize our earth, which is made up of 75% water, would experience tides of such enormous capacity that this planet would be unlivable? But it stays right where God fixed it. He holds it all together. That's just some of the created things outside of us, but then there's certainly the impact it would have on us. What if he sees to hold all things together in us? The psalmist said so beautifully in Psalm 139, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb." I love that. "I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret and intricately woven in the depths of the earth." We have a beautiful picture of a designer creating his choice creation. "Now, while I'm far from being considered an expert on the physical body, one only need to have a body to be amazed at how God has designed us. How magnificently God has made the human body. This body, which is made of trillions of cells, all functioning together to maintain our health. When they fail to function, which is not God, which is not a design issue, it's because sin has entered into our world and it's a sin issue, right? When those cells fail to function, it's what we call sickness. But when they're functioning the way they're designed to function, we have health. That's how God created it. Just think about the way the body is designed to heal itself. You ever cut yourself? An interesting thing happens. An incision takes place on your body. It sends a signal to the brain to send some extra blood to the incision area, and the blood pours out and cleans out any bacteria, anything that's going to cause infection. It flushes it out, and then all the other cells come rushing to that area, and healing starts to happen, and a scab begins to form, God's way of protecting that incision so that it continues to heal itself. What a coincidence. Not bad for something that walked out of a pond in the form of a monkey or whatever they... Oh my goodness, does it take faith to hold on to evolution? What an incredible design God has made. How does the body know how to do that? He has put in motion. He holds all things together and has put in motion a system that continues to work the way which God designed for it to do. Think about all those involuntary actions the human body engages in. When was the last time you tried to make your own heart pump? If you're ever at a point in your life where you're trying to make your heart pump, you're in bad places, right? But it just does what it was designed to do. The heart just starts pumping. The cells just start reproducing. The good cells start killing off the bad cells. The lungs are filtering and moving oxygen to and from the brain. The blood is cleansing and providing life to all of the body. When was the last time you had work at those things? It just kind of happens the way God designed for it to do. He held it all together. And here's the deal. If God can hold the universe together, if God can hold the earth on the axis that it's, with the exact tilt that it is, in the precise location to the sun that it remains, if Jesus can keep the sun suspended where it is and the moon suspended where it is, being held by nothing, just the expression of his mind, gravity. Will he not hold you together? Will he not hold you together? And I'm not just talking about physically. I'm talking about emotionally as well. I'm talking about spiritually as well. Is there anything that God can't bring you through? Is there anything that he can't help you through? Is there anything that he won't walk through with you? You may be here this morning or listening on the internet or on TV or whatever, and you think you've come to that point where you think, I feel like I'm just falling apart. Maybe you're in a season of life where you feel like, I just feel like everything's coming in every possible direction. I don't know how in the world I'm ever going to survive in him. Paul says, all things are held together. He'll keep you. He'll hold you. He'll walk with you. He'll talk with you. And he'll stand with you. He is faithful. He'll never let you go. He holds the universe where it's supposed to be. Will he not hold you, who he loves so very much? You are held together by him. The sun, the moon, the stars, the bodies, he holds it all together by the word of his power. As we close out, I had seen a really great clip one day that just spoke so beautifully to this truth that we saw in Colossians chapter 1 in verse 15. If we could just Watch this clip. If we could just kill the lights in the back. Don't touch the lights in the back. Pastor Tom's got control over here. Louis Giglio.
That's really what we want to know. And I'll tell you how you can know tonight that God will always hold you together, no matter what. It's by looking a little deeper into the human body, and it's a little protein molecule called laminin. Long story short, the tour was winding down last time around. We were in Tyler, Texas. The night was over. A guy walks up to me. I wish I could tell you the whole story. It was so of God. Introduces himself to me, says, how are you doing? I just want to say hello. I said, it's nice to meet you. He says, you guys winding the tour down. Where are you going to go from here? I said, well, I'm on my way back home to Atlanta, Georgia. He said, well, what's next for you? I said, I'm going to be preaching the next two Sundays for my pastor back in Atlanta. He said, oh, cool. What are you preaching on? I said, well, the series is on the glory of God and the human body. He said, that's really amazing. I'm a molecular biologist at the university down the road. And then he says, well, what's your big left hook? You got to have a left hook, a big finish, right? I said, I don't have a left hook yet. He said, oh, Louis, oh, man, your left hook is laminin. And I'm totally blank on laminin. And he goes, Louis, it's a cell adhesion molecule, protein molecule. Do you know about proteins? I'm like, no. He said, Louis, cells organize into certain molecular structures, and that determines what protein there are. There are between 10 and 60,000 proteins in the human body. We don't even know how many proteins are in the human body. But one of them is a cell adhesion molecule. It's organized into this certain structure, and that tells the cell what its job is in the body. And this one is a cell adhesion molecule. And I'm like, all right. He said, no, Louis, it's like the rebar of the human body. The steel they put in the concrete when they lay the foundations of things, it's that stuff. It's holding your membranes together. It's the glue of the human body, Louis. It's laminin. You got to tell them about laminin. And I'm like, I promise you, I'm going home and tell them about laminin. And I'm sure when I do, revival is going to sweep across the church and probably around the world when I tell them. He said, no. You got to see laminin. I'm like, okay, let's see it. He said, no, you need to go look it up online. You need to go Google laminin. I'm like, I don't even know how to spell laminin. Takes his card out, he writes on the back, L-A-M-I-N-I-N. I'm like, okay, I cannot wait to get to my computer and get on Google, click on images, type in laminin, and I'm waiting, and these little thumbnails come up on the screen, and I'm like, wow. That's laminin, the cell adhesion molecule. Woo! I am so excited. I am beside myself. I cannot believe what I'm seeing. I love laminin. I'm so fired up. You should see laminin, I guess. That's the thing, right? Okay. Here is a scientific diagram of the laminin cell adhesion molecule that's holding your body together right now. Okay, this is what I found right here. No, come on, that's crazy. That's just crazy. I just can't believe it. I emailed that guy back so fast, I'm like, wow, what in the world? He said, you want to see an actual laminin molecule? I'm like, oh, no, man. The diagram was cool for me. I'm happy with that. Don't bother sending anything else. I'm like, yes! And he sends me this image, an electron microscopic image of an actual laminin protein molecule. It looks just like this. How crazy is that? That the stuff that holds our bodies together, that's holding the lining of your organs together, holding your skin on, is in the perfect shape of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Now, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And all of creation declares the glory of God. And this cell adhesion molecule that holds our bodies together, of course it's going to be in the form of the cross of Jesus Christ. Because he, at the cross, that which was broken, that which was unheld, was brought together in the person of Jesus Christ. And I pray this morning that this just comes to you as a tremendous encouragement. That no matter where you find yourself, no matter what season of life you might find yourself, he's holding you together. On this Father's Day, know that your Father loves you. He's holding you together. And in him, as Paul said, all things. It's the universe, the sun, the stars, the moon. It's you and me. He holds us together. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you that we're held together in Jesus Christ. That you, Jesus, are the very source that keeps the cosmos from becoming chaotic. Father, I pray that if there's anyone here this morning that feels like they're just falling apart, emotionally, physically, spiritually, financially, whatever it may be, I pray this morning that this message would speak life to them today, and that they would see you as the great one, dear Jesus, who holds us together. And then we'd walk out of this place today loving you that much more. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen.